widest music variety. And in the studio, we welcome back into Compass FM, Linda. How are you, Linda?
I'm good, and it's 8 minutes past one, my lovey.
What did I say? Did I say 12?
You said 12.
Oh,
so you're really going to confuse everybody.
Where's the 12? Where's the 12 on my screen? Thank you. It's 8 minutes past one, and we welcome into the studio Linda McCarthy from PGG Wrightson's Real Estate, who is on time.
Yeah,
well done.
Absolutely.
Hey, in our property segment show today, we're talking about sales and purchase agreements or contracts. It sounds like a pretty...
Yeah, and I can hear you all groaning out there, oh my gosh, what's all this about? I just thought I'd take the opportunity, seeing that we're all thinking about getting ready for sale and things like that, that we sometimes forget that there's that contract at the end that we need to actually do something about as well. And to keep it simple today, I just thought that I would go through maybe one or two things that you need to make sure that you've got considered in your sale and purchase agreement. Some of you might be first home buyers, some of you might be a wee bit rusty in buying and selling. Yeah. So I thought it'd be a great opportunity to just go through some things.
So Linda, what are some of the important things that we need to consider if we're buying a property?
Okay, so the interesting thing is that the perception out there is that it is a really difficult process. It's actually, from my perspective, I think it's really exciting for anybody that's buying a house. Sale and purchase agreement is just part of the process. And yes, it is a legal binding agreement, and it's signed by both the seller and the buyer. And once it's dated, well, and the ink's dried, there are a lot of pages that need to be considered, but it means that you're actually on the way to making a serious offer on a property, and there's a few things that you've got to do. First of all, you've got to get legal advice on the sale and purchase agreement to make sure that you're not signing something that is going to get you into trouble further down the track. Now, some people get that checked out before they sign it, and other people wait till after they've signed it, and then it goes through to the lawyer naturally anyway. So it really just depends on how you want to do your due diligence. But the front page is the starting point of the whole thing. It puts in how much you want to offer on the property, or how much you want to buy the property for. It also has how much deposit, and typically it's normal as 10%. And no, the deposit doesn't go into the real estate agent's bank account.
Okay. Yeah. Is that a perception that some people
sometimes
have?
Sometimes people think that the agents get that, but no, it goes into the trust account of the real estate company, PGG Wrightson's, hold it in their trust account for 10 working days until all the clauses are met, and we'll talk about them a little bit later. But it's held on your behalf, and I don't get anything of that until all the clauses are met, and then the fees come out at the other end. Okay.
So, Linda, I have a question for you.
Sure.
How do we know what we're going to pay for the property?
That's a really, really good question. I can give you a bit of a guide. The vendor has probably, or the seller has probably given me a guide on what they would expect to get for their property. But also, you probably have done a fair bit of market due diligence yourself. You might have been on TradeMe, you might have been on realestate.co, you might have seen the houses around it going up for sale and what they've sold for. And yes, everybody jumps on Homes and One Roof and all those as well, just to see where the property sits. So you add all that together, stir it around in the melting pot, and you come up with what you are able to borrow. So that's the next thing. Have you got your pre-approval, which we've talked about two or three times previously?
Yes.
Mortgage broker will give you a guidance as to, or the bank, as to how much you can spend. And they don't typically like it when you put more down on the paper than you can actually legally borrow.
Yeah, for sure.
Or financially borrow.
So you can help them with that whole process.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And that's the whole purpose of me being involved in the whole situation, is that I can give them some advice. We sit down and have a conversation. We go through and explain the sales and purchase agreement. And then you basically you sign what you think you'd like to put on in paper to the the seller. It's
And then the process from there would then the deposit is at that point. So, is that when you're committing and saying, right, this is what I'd like to maybe buy the house for, and this is how much deposit I'm prepared
to. So there are some clauses that you may want to put on the back, and we're probably going to talk about those in a little bit more detail later. But you the front page is the starting point, and then you talk about things like limbs and building reports and stuff, which we'll come back to.
Good as gold. And indeed, we'll come back to it in just a second. And thanks, Linda. We'll catch up with Linda in just a minute. We'll be going to talking about some of the clauses in the contract when you're buying a house.
Compass FM.